Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission is to equip you with answers to share the hope that you have within you, because life and truth matter. Why? Because being armed with truth will equip you to counter the corrosive worldviews at work in our world today, while experiencing the authentic Christian life will make you a winsome witness of the purpose of life, which is to experience union with God and Christ, both for today and for all eternity. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us online at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in studio. One of the things that I did this afternoon is a little research. I read an article by Dr. Michelle Cretella, and it's titled, "I'm a Pediatrician, How Transgender Ideology Has Infiltrated My Field and Produced Large-Scale Child Abuse." And as I read through her article, I was just appalled at the data. She explained in a peer-reviewed article, it was titled "Gender Dysphoria in Children and Suppression of Debate," that professionals who dare to question the unscientific party line of supporting gender transition therapy will find themselves maligned and out of a job. In other words, you sort of have to follow lockstep the social engineering, the narrative that we are now hearing in our culture. We're supposed to accept it as though it were true. Now, this article, again, is from a pediatrician who has served 17 years as a board-certified general pediatrician, a board member and researcher for the American College of Pediatricians, and served as its president. She also sat on the board of directors for the Alliance of Therapeutic Choice and Scientific Integrity from 2010 to 2015. All of that to say that this pediatrician has chops. And she points out that the transition affirming protocol tells parents to treat their children as the gender they desire and to place them on puberty blockers around age 11 or 12 if they are considered gender dysphoric. And if by age 16 the children still insist that they're trapped in the wrong body, they're placed on cross-sex hormones, and biological girls may obtain a double mastectomy. As far as so-called bottom surgeries are concerned, genital reassignment surgeries, well, they're not recommended before age 18, though some surgeons have argued against this restriction. The transition-affirming approach has been embraced by public institutions in media, education, in our legal system, and is recommended by most national medical organizations. I mean, this is terrifying stuff. And yet the idea that feminized or masculinized brains can be trapped in the wrong body from before birth is a myth with no basis in science. Again, this from someone who knows what they're talking about. And even the American Psychological Association's Handbook of Sexuality and Psychology admits that prior to the widespread promotion of transition affirmation, 75% to 95% of prepubertal children who were distressed by their biological sex eventually outgrew that distress. The vast majority came to accept their biological sex by late adolescence after passing naturally through puberty. But with transition, affirmation, now increasing in Western culture, the number of children claiming distress over their gender has dramatically increased. Here's a great example. The Gender Identity Development Service in the United Kingdom alone has seen a 2,000% increase in referrals since 2009. You think a narrative doesn't matter? This is amazing. Of course, there is a very serious ethical problem in allowing irreversible, life-changing procedures to be performed on minors who are too young themselves to give valid consent. And prior to the widespread promotion of transition affirmation, well, again, the percentages are staggering. Up to 95% of gender dysphoric youth ended up happy with their biological sex after simply passing through puberty. Here's another point made by the doctor. Adults who undergo sex reassignment, even in Sweden, which is among the most LGBT-affirming countries in the world, have a suicide rate nearly 20 times greater than that of the general population. Conclusion, clearly sex reassignment is not the solution to gender dysphoria. And yet the transition-affirming movement is using the myth that people are born transgender to justify engaging in massive, uncontrolled, unconsented experimentation on children who have a psychological condition that would otherwise resolve after puberty in the vast majority of cases. So the bottom line, according to the doctor, is that today's institutions that promote transition affirmation are pushing children to impersonate the opposite sex, sending many of them down the path of puberty blockers, sterilization, the removal of healthy body parts, and untold psychological damage. Again, the conclusion, these harms constitute nothing less than institutionalized child abuse. So why do I share that with our audience? I share that because it is time for us to wake up. I mean, this has happened before. Huxley's eugenic ambitions. Huxley, of course, was the bulldog of Charles Darwin. He popularized and promoted Darwin's theories, as did his progeny. There were a lot of Huxleys involved in the mix. But Huxley had eugenic ambitions. He believed Darwin's theory with such fervor that he wanted to protect the gene pool. So the idea is that you got to keep the gene pool from being infected with less fit genes. Now, how are you going to do that? We have to figure out who has less fit genes. Well, back then, the idea was, well, maybe blacks have less fit genes. And probably Jews have as well. And then, of course, there are those who have physical or psychological maladies. They're going to pollute the gene pool as well. So what do we have to do? Well, sterilize them. War, as in the death camps of Germany, experiment on them and then get rid of them. So you had this incredible social experiment. And you say, well, that was Germany. No, that was America. America set the tone for this in the most prestigious universities on the planet, including Stanford. So here we have an idea that today has been thoroughly discarded. Why? Because it saw its culmination in something that was so ghastly, people finally woke up. We're in that same position today, and now with the most innocent among us, kids, we're experimenting on them. You realize that North Carolina is still paying reparations to families that suffered under eugenics? I mean, we're still paying for that today. That social experiment has been discarded. No one wants to even live up to the fact that it happened. Well, we're doing the same thing, but now again, the experimentation is on children. And again, the only thing necessary for evil to triumph, as has been well said, is for good people to do nothing. And we cannot be part of the problem, particularly as Christians. How many times do I have to repeat the words of Jesus? We have been called to be salt and light. And if the salt loses its saltiness, it's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. So you are the light of the world. It's important for you to be informed and then to act on the information so you can influence your children, your family members, your friends, your circle of influence. Make a difference while there's yet time. Be right back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your questions answered right here in just a moment.
In our post-truth age of confusion, the need for Christians to be equipped with answers has never been greater. The Christian Research Institute exists to provide those answers, and this provision is made possible only by people like you. People unafraid to stand up for truth while it's under assault. People like you whose contributions to our many outreaches are making a difference for time and eternity. Stand with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute during the key month of June to ensure that we end the financial year in a position of strength. To make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Thank you. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. The Soviet Red Army won the Battle of Stalingrad. It appeared at first the Nazi war machine would secure the victory, but the Soviets battled back from near certain defeat with extraordinary courage and resoluteness to turn the tide of the battle and ultimately the war. The lesson is that both men and material, people and provisions played a critical role. Willingness to fight and munitions in the arsenal were pivotal. Our contemporary battle for truth against anti-Christian secularists raises the stakes above the significance of Stalingrad. CRI likewise needs military partners willing to stand for truth, along with the financial means to accomplish the mission. Stand with us during the key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's go to our callers. First up, John, St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, John.
Hank, thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I want to ask you if you read the book Searching for Adam by Terry Mortensen, and if so, I wanted to get your thoughts on the book and the author's view on man's origin.
Yeah, I have not read the book. I am familiar with Terry Mortensen.
Well, he believes in a literal interpretation of Genesis, which would suggest that Adam is about 6,000 years old. I mean, I just started reading the book, so I haven't gone through it all. Given that God's creation took literally 6 days, the universe is roughly 6,000 years old as well, which, of course, is in conflict with the Big Bang Theory. And where do you stand on this?
Well, I don't think there's any conflict with Big Bang cosmology. I mean, Big Bang cosmology presupposes a beginning, and that's what we read in the first few words of Genesis. So Big Bang cosmology can be harmonized with Genesis, but I don't think that a 6,000-year-old universe can be harmonized with Genesis, because Genesis, if you read it in the sense in which it's intended, is not intended to give you a chronology. What Genesis gives you is chirology. It gives you God's purposes in creation, with humankind being the crowning jewel of God's creation. And so I think this whole notion that somehow or other we can figure out from the days of Genesis how long it took is missing the point. We are to remember God's creative prowess during the normal course of everyday living. We live in 7-day cycles, and so we remember God's creative prowess, but we certainly don't suppose it took God 24 hours to do anything. This is not the point. And when you talk about reading Genesis literally, I do as well. But what does that mean? It means you read it as literature. You don't read it in a wooden, literalistic sense, but in the sense in which it's intended. So if there's an anthropomorphism that is used in Genesis, where God says to Adam and Eve, "Where are you?" you don't suddenly deny God's omniscience. Or if God walks in the garden, you don't suddenly think that God has big feet. It means you read the text in the sense in which it's intended. And so I would contend that this whole notion that you can figure out the chronology based on the genealogies and based on the days of creation is simply misguided. I mean, some of the clues are they are so bright that they're hard to miss. 10 genealogies on one side of the flood, 10 genealogies on the other. This is hardly sequential. It's symmetrical. So I think it's important that if you follow the literal principle, that you follow it by understanding the art and science of biblical interpretation. Here's my view. My view is I do not want to make this an acid test for orthodoxy. Unfortunately, there are people within some Christian organizations that do. And if you do not hold to their position and their way of interpreting Genesis, and therefore imposing that interpretation on doing good science, then you're out of the fold. You've walked away from the Christian faith. And I think that's unfortunate. So I think this is one of those things that we can debate vigorously. Ultimately, we shouldn't divide over. And I think the quintessential person as a young earth creationist that we ought to follow the model of is Dr. Paul Nelson. And you talk about a person that knows how to reach as opposed to repel. I think he is a model for all of us to follow. So I may disagree with him on this particular point, but I hold him in high regard.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for your insight.
You got it, John. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Greg. Greg is in Boynton Beach, Florida. Hi, Greg.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to ask a quick question in regard to gender problems. We have children, unfortunately, that are born to conjoined or with muscular dystrophy. There's a bunch of different things that can happen. And I'm just wondering why gender transformation can't be one of those things.
Well, I think, first of all, we're engaged in a social experiment that has been foisted on the public by the cultural elite, and that with vast rapidity, without doing the proper kinds of studies or without properly looking at the data. For example, identical twins contain 100% of the same DNA from conception and are exposed to the same prenatal hormones. So if the genes or the prenatal hormones contributed significantly to transgenderism, we would expect both twins to identify as transgender close to 100% of the time. But the doctor that I was referring to at the opening of the broadcast, Dr. Michelle Cretella, points out that in the largest study of twin transgender adults, this was published by Dr. Milton Diamond, in 2013, only 28% of identical twins both identified as transgender. 72% of the time, they differed. The 28% of identical twins both identified as transgender, this actually suggests a minimal biological predisposition, which means transgenderism will not manifest itself without outside non-biological factors also impacting the individual during his lifetime. So when we start to strip away gender identity from biology, we should expect some big, big problems. So in the other categories, that's not the presupposition, but in this category, it is the presupposition. That's why you can have 57 or more different gender identities today. So I think what we ought to do is look at the data, and that's my appeal, is simply look at the data. As far as people having maladies, well, that's part of a fallen creation. We should expect that. When Adam and Eve fell into lives of perpetual sin, terminated by death, the rest of the Bible is the grand meta-narrative of God's unfolding plan of redemption, so that there will come a time in which there's no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things will have passed away. Behold, all things will have become new. So in this world, we're going to have trouble, but there's a new world coming.
Praise God. Thank you, Hank.
You're welcome. Scotty, Stillwater, Oklahoma. Hi, Scotty.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing great, in fact.
Okay. What do you think of the Shepherd's Chapel?
What do I think of them?
Yeah.
Well, what do I think about Arnold Murray, who denied the Trinity, or who claimed that Christ and the Holy Spirit are one and the same? Or who teaches Anglo-Israelism, which holds that Anglo-Saxons are the chosen race. Or who teaches the serpent seed doctrine that Eve had sex with a snake, and that's where you get Cain and his progeny, the Kenites. I mean, this is just sheer madness. And so here's a guy who not only denies essential Christian doctrine, but then he takes secondary issues or even absurd issues and he enshrines them as though they're essentials of the historic Christian faith. So my advice to anyone that happens to encounter this program late at night when you have insomnia is to flip the dial as quickly as you can or use the remote quickly.
Okay. And what do you think of, okay, I know that Christ said it was finished on the cross and everything. Is there any way possible you can still be saved and still fall away from Christ?
Well, look, I think the whole idea of salvation is that we go on in the process from the port of salvation, as Vladimir Lossky has well said, we go on to the goal of union with God. So the idea of the shipwreck is not simply to reach the port, it is to go on. And that going on means that you are following the principles and precepts of Christ, you're co-consummators of the kingdom, and the love affair grows and grows and grows, and it grows within the context of the body of Christ, the pillar and ground of truth, wherein graces are dispensed to you by which you can live, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. So if one is truly born again, the earnest, the deposit of the Holy Spirit within will propel them on to deeper and deeper love relationship with the very one who saved them by His grace. So at the end of the day, God's trees are evergreen because they continue on in the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Much more could be said about that. We'll be back next week with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Thanks to all of those that continue standing with us, shoulder to shoulder, in the battle for life and truth.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Winston Churchill once declared, "You may have to fight when there is no hope of victory, because it is better to perish than to live as slaves." Churchill sought to awaken those who were reluctant to fight against the advancing Nazi war machine. Today, a spiritual battle is taking place. New atheism advances in the West, and slavery to secularity is imprisoning more and more hearts and minds in the United States. For this reason, CRI's ministry is critical. But we need people willing to stand for truth, along with the financial provisions to accomplish its mission. Stand with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute during the month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org.